Chapter 60. Clark and Well led Michael to a bench where they sat overlooking the ministry's imposing dome. The regulating life to liberate lives maxim glimmered in the uplighting. Michael's eyes flitted to his abandoned suitcase and the flapping paper orchids blowing in the breeze. His heart was in his mouth, willing the hatch to open. If those inside took just one of his offerings, it would be an indisputable sign.
"They won't," said the detective, reading his mind.
Michael bristled. He'd always hated her presumptuous manner.
"I thought I was done with you," he growled.
"On the contrary, I was rather hoping our paths would cross here. In fact, I was counting on it."
Clerkenwell offered Michael a stick of gum, which he declined with a scowl.
"You planned this?" he demanded.
"In a sense. I knew you were getting out today, and I figured this place would be high on your list. We're creatures of habit, after all," she said, winking.
"Is that it? You've come to gloat?"
said Michael bitterly.
"No, I did my share of that while you were banged up,"
grinned Clerkenwell, shoving her hands into the pockets of her dark trench coat.
"I'm here to die."
She pulled out a tattered-looking envelope with an elaborate swirling signature scrawled across the front. Michael stared at it in amazement, feeling a peculiar pang of triumph.
"Mind dialing down your joy?"
she grunted. Michael blushed, forcing his features back under control.
"Sorry,"
he muttered.
"No, you're not. I know your type, and this is like hitting the jackpot. Enjoy your moment."
Clerkenwell rose to her feet as the clock struck 9 p.m.
"Wait, that's it?"
said Michael.
"What were you expecting? A goodbye hug?"
Michael scowled.
"There's no one here to see you off."
"Do you see a crowd of tearful well-wishers?"
Michael shrugged.
"You're not the only one who screwed things up,"
said the detective.
"Before you go, detective, answer me this. How come I never met anyone else like me? You know, like heretics?"
"Solitary confinement generally nips that possibility in the bud."
"Before prison, I mean. I spent so many years seeking answers, scouring the city's archives for others who wanted to defy the ministry. But there's no trace. I know they expunged the records, but I still thought I would at least meet some people in 20 years of looking."
"Doubt is a rare thing in this city, Michael. Even if you were to stumble across another like-minded soul, it's unlikely you would ever cross paths again. The ministry would make sure of it."
"With a death letter?"
"Not if it can be avoided. Too messy. These people are the ones who don't always come quietly. Instead, the ministry prefers to course-correct such people's lives. Some might receive a child to keep them busy. Others might lose their jobs or be implicated in a scandal to discredit them. The ministry stays one step ahead. It protects the herd by ensuring cancerous individuals can't spread their ideology to others."
"And knowing all of that, you still worked for them?"
"Like I said, you're not the only screw-up here."
Clerkenwell folded her gum into a wrapper, stuffed it in her pocket, then shuffled to the edge of the bench, preparing her walking cane.
"So long, Michael Hadley. Enjoy what's left of your unburdened life."
"Wait! What do I do now? They won't accept my offerings,"
called Michael.
"I figured you'd be worried about that. Don't worry. I've left you a goodbye gift that'll take care of things."
"What do you mean?"
The detective huffed and slouched backwards against the slats.
"From the looks of your rather pitiful origami efforts, you're familiar with the ministry's offering system."
"You know about it?"
said Michael.
"I was a detective, Mr. Hadley. There are a lot of things I know that others don't, including the reason they only accept a particular flower."
"Because it's special. It's hard to find, which proves your loyalty, your devotion."
"You really think the ministry's into them for their aesthetic qualities? And there, you had me thinking you were an intelligent man, Mr. Hadley."
"So it's something about the plant. A property, something they extract,"
pondered Michael.
"Bingo.
But what about loyalty?
Prison really did a number on you, hey? I miss the old Michael. What happened to the one-armed rebel willing to take down the system just to expose the truth?
Michael glared at her, and Clerkenwell chuckled.
Okay, don't answer that. My point is, you're assuming your relationship with the Ministry is based on mutual respect, a sort of unspoken love. In reality, it's transactional. Each side gives and takes. You have to learn the Ministry's language, then you can have a dialogue. Right now, you're just shouting at a stone wall. Literally.
And the plants? That's their language?
The plants embody the oldest and only language our city knows. Utility.
But they'll see I was trying with the origami. They'll know my intentions were true, so that surely that counts for something.
To you and I, intentions are everything. To the Ministry, what are they but unfulfilled promises?
How do I speak their language? Please, Detective, I'm just trying to protect my family. If you understand intentions, surely you understand that. It's all I've ever wanted. It's all Kelsey really wanted, too, in her way.
I understand, Mr. Hadley, better than you can imagine. Which is why, from tonight, you won't have to worry about lackluster intentions anymore. You'll be able to fulfill your promises to the Ministry.
I don't understand.
The flowers. I thought it was time you had the real thing.
What? You know where I can find one?
It's already yours. When you go home, you'll find it bedded beside your mailbox.
Bedded? Impossible. Toma and I tried that. It never worked. You can't plant them or graft the stems or anything. When you pick the flower, the whole plant dies right down to the roots. Toma showed me once. That's why they're so rare. You only get them in the wild. Only those deserving can find them. If it was as simple as just planting one, everyone would have one.
There was a time everyone did,
shrugged Clerkenwell.
According to legend, at least.
Michael's eyes widened. After all his efforts, the detective had known more than him all along.
Why don't more people know about this?
He stammered.
It would appear our ancestors chose to forget. A necessary sacrifice to facilitate the constructive delusions we endure at the hands of our beloved Ministry.
But these plants give immortality. Why would our ancestors ever sacrifice that? Your legend's a lie. It has to be.
Believe what you want, Michael. I'm merely offering you a way out of your current predicament.
If what you're saying is true, that all citizens used to have these plants, then how come they all just vanished?
They were relocated.
Where?
Clerkenwell raised a surprised eyebrow at Michael's naivety.
The Ministry took them?
Received might be a more accurate description. According to the legend, our ancestors volunteered them gladly.
Idiots,
spat Michael.
Perhaps. One family regretted their decision, however, and stole their plant back from the Ministry building in its earliest days. Of course, there were repercussions. They were forced into hiding and became nomadic. The lineage is impossible to trace, but centuries later, here we are, passing the same plant on. I can name the person who gave it to me, and in turn you shall be able to do the same. Use it wisely, Michael.
Will it protect my whole family?
Only those who live where it's planted.
So, to protect everyone, they'd all have to move into the same place.
Alas, no. Even if you could fit everyone into your house, it wouldn't work. The plant only protects as many people as it has flowers in bloom. It has 5 right now, which will suffice for you, plus those currently living in your household.
But my granddaughter, she turns 18 at midnight. She is the most vulnerable, and she's not in that house,
stammered Michael.
Ah, the one born with difficulties. Yes, I was sorry to see that. But I would argue you're equally vulnerable, the pair of you. You're an ex-convict, Michael, and you just finished serving a life sentence.
So?
It's kind of in the name, isn't it? Felon's letters tend to come pretty quick after they're released.
How quick?
Put it this way. There's a reason I gave you the plant on your first day out of jail.
So you're saying I have to choose between protecting myself and my granddaughter?
I'm afraid so.
Michael's shoulders slumped. There was so much he wanted to set right, so many relationships to mend after being away for so long.
There is one thing you could try, but it's risky,
mused Clerkenwell. Michael perked up.
Anything.
You have to understand, I have no idea how likely this is to work. I've only heard about it through the people who gave me the plant, and that was a long time ago. They'd only heard about it from others. None of us dared try.
What is it? Please. I have to protect them all. After all the hurt I've caused, I'll try anything. Just tell me.
This is gonna sound weird, but you gotta go to the grave of a loved one. Specifically, the one you lost youngest.
Michael thought for a moment.
But my father doesn't have a grave. My grandfather, though, or Kelsey.
Not the person you lost when you were young. I mean the youngest person you've lost. You see, this method only works for people who lost someone younger than themselves.
Michael's stomach churned.
You're talking about the boy.
The boy you never knew. Yes. If you want to do this, you have to go to his grave.
Why?
How should I know? I'm just relaying what they told me.
What would I do at the grave?
It's something to do with the mixing of grounds. Apparently, you take some earth from your home and mix it with the earth at the grave. Then you tether the plant. Not my wording, before you ask.
How do I?
The plant already has two roots, okay? The primary stem goes in the ground. The other one fuses to your mailbox. I told you it was weird. I think there's some kind of nutrient exchange through the enamel, but who knows? Anyway, at the grave, you just stick the big roots in the mixed soil and the other one against the headstone.
But how will the ministry know which other household I want to protect? The dead boy has no ties to my granddaughter.
So, you might not like this bit so much. Then again, you did hack your own arm off, so maybe it'll be right up your street. The final step is called confirmation, or maybe it was calibration. I can't quite remember. Something beginning with C.
How does it work?
You need a blood sample from the most vulnerable person in each of the two homes you're seeking to protect. Like I said, it's an acquired taste, this whole thing. Apparently, the blood-soil-location combo is what the ministry's after.
That makes no sense at all.
Hey, I'm just telling you what they told me. Take it or leave it.
You're sure this is the only way?
Unless you can find a whole new plant, which I guarantee you won't be able to, then yes, this is the only way I've ever heard of. Fair warning, though. There's a chance the blood might contaminate the plant, in which case it would lose its protective qualities and die, apparently.
Okay, but if the calibration were to work?
Then the plant would grow a bunch more flowers and you'd all live happily ever after.
And if that were the case, could I do it again? Add more homes with blood?
Hypothetically, I guess. But you might never have that chance. Let me reiterate, Michael. Messing with the plant is high risk. You'd be throwing away the certainty of your own future.
But with the potential to save my entire family, how could I not take that chance?
It's the decision every gardener like us has faced. What do you think of gardeners as a nickname, by the way? My predecessors called themselves the flower stewards, but I think that's kind of dumb. Gardeners is a bit more street, right?
The plant? How old is it?
From what I was told, it's as old as the city itself. But bear in mind, that's the flower stewards talking. They said those plants were the reason our ancestors settled here. They used to be abundant. You have one of the last.
Thunder rumbled in the distance, and the dense rain cloud overhead began to leak. Drizzle doused the pair on the bench. Clerkenwell looked skyward and opened her mouth, letting the drops land on her tongue. She closed her eyes and basked in the sensation as the rain grew thicker and faster. Michael pulled his coat over his head shielding his wrinkled scalp from the deluge. As the rain became deafening, Clerkenwell rose to her feet and faced the ministry with a sigh.
I think nature's giving me a hint. I'd best be off. I'll see you round, Michael.
Wait, that's it?
It's my time. You of all people should know they don't take kindly to lateness.
She gave him a bittersweet smile, then limped towards the ministry.
Why are you doing this now? Cried Michael. Why help me, of all people, after all these years?
Consider it penance,
called the detective.
For what?
Clerkenwell turned, leaning heavily on her cane framed against the ministry sweeping steps. Maybe it was the gray sky or the driving rain, but the wrinkles on her aged face suddenly looked deeper.
Your wife's car crash was my fault, Michael. Those final hours before her letter came must have been wrought with suffering. I've carried that shame with me ever since. I'm sorry. Look after that plant. Choose wisely.
Michael watched, speechless, as she ascended the steps slowly and steadily, disappearing into the archway of departures.